Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, where, of course, we always speak to significant business leaders within the South African community, but not just in the local context, but also from a global perspective. And tonight, we speak to a key leader within the mining fraternity here in South Africa. And for many of us, when we think of Thungela Resources, we know that it's a pure play in terms of coal in South Africa, but also has been a significant contributor, not only to employment, of course, production in terms of mining, but has certainly evolved as a business following its separation from Anglo American. Tonight we speak to the CEO, outgoing CEO of the entity, Mr. July Ndlovu, just to reflect on his journey given his upcoming retirement from the organization later this year. Mr. July Ndlovu, such a pleasure to see you and speak to you, sir.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners. It's quite a pleasure to be talking to you.
Yes, it's exciting to speak to you. Usually I always talk to you about company results and it's always about production updates and the performance of the numbers so far. But I guess this conversation, like many that you've had in the last few weeks, is rather refreshing and one that is of a reflective nature. But you've had a phenomenal journey in mining over the last three decades. Maybe let's just start there. Many people aren't familiar with the fact that you really had humble beginnings in terms of your journey in mining overall.
Well, I tell my friends that I'm a failed medical doctor, having started at varsity trying to study medicine, and it turned not to be for me. But actually for two reasons. One, I just didn't enjoy it. But two, I did meet one of these Anglo executives and they started talking about the stuff they were doing in mining. And if you listen to the way they talk about what mining can do for communities, for people, it just sounded like, oh my God, these guys do really stuff that matters.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't sound like I could compare medicine to that.
Uh-huh.
And I switched over to mining. And 35 years later, here I am.
Definitely not something that you have regretted if one does take a look at your illustrious career within the mining fraternity. And it's really been an evolution, right? Wearing different hats, taking care of different operations. And I'm quite keen just to understand, you know, those pivotal moments and experiences. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular roles that might have stood out for you, given the shifts that we've witnessed in the mining fraternity in the last three decades?
I guess my career is not different to most engineers, I think. Where you start off being, you know, the guy who designs things, who calculates stuff. At some point in your career, you make that transition from being a specialist to being a leader of people. And then your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, the challenges that you've got are of an adaptive nature.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can't rely on what you learned at school to calculate stuff, but actually to really begin to understand what gets people to wake up every day, volunteering the very best of themselves. And I probably have done that a lot more in my career because I got into management very early on,
mm-hmm.
Very young. And I've been fortunate as a result to be a leader of people probably for close to 30 years of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this in different commodities.
Yes.
I've seen quite a few of them. Having started in coal, I went to ferrochrome, did
yes.
a little bit of gold. I went into nickel, a little bit of copper. And I spent a wonderful 15 years in PGMs. Before I became the evangelist for coal.
Yeah, evangelist for coal. We'll get to that in a moment because that's yeah. typically the phrase that you're known by within the industry. But I do want to zone into leadership. So often when we talk about leadership on the show, we know that it's part of the basic principles for anyone mm-hmm. who enters an executive role, is key to business, key to politics and society at large, really. And I'm keen mm-hmm. to understand, given that at some point in your career, specifically as CEO of Thungela, you've had to navigate interesting times, and I say that diplomatically, whether it's the volatility of the commodity price, the separation of the company from the group at Anglo, but also just understanding, you know, the upheaval that was also caused by pandemics, macroeconomic market dynamics. So I'm keen to understand, were there pivotal experiences in terms of your leadership and leadership style, leadership lessons that have evolved, especially during your journey as CEO of Thungela?
I guess one of the key things that you learn as you grow older with the benefit of having had so many challenging roles is that leadership is about dealing with uncertainty.
Mm.
You're never, ever going to have perfect information. And every time you're making a decision, the information you've got is imperfect. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, you're going to have to go with your best judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hope that you make more right decisions than wrong ones. And I've been lucky to do that. That's the first thing. The second thing, I mean, there's an old adage which says that leadership is lonely at the top.
Yeah.
But actually, I've learned something slightly different, is that if you accept the role of leadership from the point of view that you're a shepherd, that you're there to provide an environment where people can become the best of themselves, the chances of you ever finding yourself alone actually is quite remote. Because then people choose to bring the very best of themselves.
Yeah.
And they choose to carry you on their shoulders. And I've had a lot more of that. Particularly the period you're describing when you say, you know, we've had some of the biggest challenges. There's no way you can go through that all by yourself.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to need the thousands of people in the organization, each one bringing the very best of themselves day in, day out, for us to be able to navigate what are very challenging and difficult circumstances.
This is refreshing perspective for you that you're sharing, just in terms of giving us a deeper understanding of the role and, I guess, evolution of leadership, which perhaps then segues us into the evolution of mining, especially in South Africa.
Mm.
Also riddled with great opportunity, but also shifts in terms of the regulatory landscape, conversations between labor together with business, and understanding the societal impact that mining does have on communities. And I want us to go there, just in terms of your reflections as well on how mining has shifted in South Africa. At one point was dubbed as a sunset industry, but we know that that's certainly not the case, especially when it comes to coal. And most importantly, you know, how we can still continue to capitalize on opportunities that exist within the mining fraternity.
I guess mining in South Africa is quite an interesting industry from a number of point of view. Firstly, South Africa is well endowed with natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a people, as a country, we got to do everything in our power to ensure that we use this God-given endowment to uplift the majority of our people. That's the first observation. The second observation, I think, if you look at over the last 30, 40 years, is that South Africa comes out of a difficult history.
Mm-hmm.
But that difficult history defined the relationship, particularly in mining, given its core role in the developmental journey of South Africa.
Mm.
The 1989-88 dispensation, where unions, particularly in mining, uprose and demanded better working conditions, to a large extent defined actually the relationship between business and labor, probably for the last 30 years.
Mm.
And what that has done, and you see it in the nature of leadership in government, that a lot of them have come through unions actually.
Yep.
And therefore you can almost take it that the zero order belief that they hold was shaped by that history. And that's why sometimes if you don't think about it carefully, you may miss why some of our politicians think the way they do and do things the way they do them.
Given their history.
Because of their history. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even question that history, because that is what has formed our own beliefs. But what that means is that, therefore, we as leaders should always take that into account as we pursue the risk-reward returns in the decisions that we make.
Yeah.
And if you do, there are always opportunities in this country. And therefore, you know, when we have this debate around the legislation, we should always see the legislation within that context. And therefore, ask ourselves, what is our role as an industry to ensure that we make sure that not only employees but communities
mm-hmm.
that are most affected by what we do are better off as a result. And our story is probably the most instructive one. We didn't take the decision to make employees and communities shareholders in Thungela very lightly.
Yes.
It was with that in mind to realize that if we didn't share value that we create in a very meaningful way with the people that are most affected by what we do, we're always going to live in an environment where there's conflict.
Yep.
Sometimes that conflict is said and shown. Sometimes it's not, but it's there. What we wanted to do is to ensure that all of them own the story that is Thungela, And that has been our experience certainly over the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely been the story, but also the results have also been there, just in terms of the performance of your share price, the value you've generated within the organization, and how that has benefited communities. For many of us who stay in urban areas, when we think coal, we think of a braai. That's the closest relationship, right, that we have to it. And as you mentioned earlier, you've been dubbed the coal evangelist within the industry because of the strong level of heightened information you've shared with mining enthusiasts to understand the critical role that this commodity plays, especially within the industrialization of South Africa and the continent at large. For the average South African, and I'm speaking to us as users, consumers, and people who are far away from your mines, if you had to educate us on understanding how critical this resource is, even though we might not necessarily have a touch point to it on our day-to-day basis, what is it that you'd like us to remember?
The easiest one to remember for everyone listening to me is that when you flick that switch, when you flick that switch and the lights come on or go off, just know there is a lump of coal that is being burnt to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
This is how important coal is in our everyday lives in South Africa. That our power, 80% of it, actually comes from coal. And therefore, every time you cook, every time you put your lights on, you bath with that hot water,
mm-hmm.
there's a lump of coal at the back of what you're actually doing. But also, if that was the only story about coal, you know, we can all replace it with renewables, but here's the reality. Coal is one of the largest employers in this country. For most people, actually, they don't know that over the last 5 years, coal is a commodity in foreign currency in this country. And therefore, its role in our economy, in providing livelihoods for millions of people is much more than what we sometimes acknowledge. And that's why I've always been going around, not just in this country, but across the globe, saying actually coal has a far more significant role to play in the development of nation states. And ours is not an exception.
100%. As you're saying this, in my mind, I'm thinking a strong performer, despite the fact that in South Africa, we know that we're challenged by the logistical challenges that have naturally taken place at Transnet. So if everything had to work efficiently and effectively, there's a multiplier effect here that we could have yet to witness, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Google, I'm the ultimate optimist. Every time I ask that question, because people ask me the question, so what would have happened if Transnet had not fallen off the rails like it did? Sorry, the pun.
Yeah.
But if we look at our story and the value that we created, not only for our stakeholders, but communities and employees over the last 4 years, and maybe the easiest statistic, and I know your show gets listened to by lots of retail investors, individual investors.
Yes.
And if you think about what we've been able to do over 4 years, we started off with a market cap of $3 billion on day one. We've returned to shareholders $22 billion in 4 years.
Mm.
The value that we've created is enormous. I accept that if Transnet had performed, we would have created significantly more value. But let's not only focus on what we didn't do, but let's focus on the absolute transformational value that we've created for people too. Because there's a good story to tell,
gotcha.
Despite Transnet's problems. But I think what it also did is that, given the value that was at stake here, particularly over the last 3-4 years, it focused all of us, Transnet, government, and business,
mm-hmm.
that we needed to fix this critical infrastructure because of its contribution to our economy.
Mm.
And I think it's been... By the time when it happened, it's actually been a positive from that point of view, that it allowed us, realizing the value at stake, that this needed to be tackled in a collaborative but much more determined way.
100%. I'm glad you touched on collaboration, because it's definitely what we've seen and it's been witnessed so far in terms of the updates that we have. The reflections you've given us in terms of your leadership, your experience, as well as your experience at Thungela Resources has been refreshing. But Mr. Ndlovu, you are a young man. When you walked into the studio today, you said to me, just be gentle, I'm a pensioner. And I think you're far from it. There's a wealth of knowledge that you're still going to share, a wealth of knowledge and experience that you can still pass on to younger leaders. So I'm aware you've been appointed to a few boards internationally to contribute in terms of value. But other than that, and gardening leave and maybe some golf, what are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward, and August. I hope my son and his fiancée are not listening. I'm looking forward to being a grandfather.
The pressure!
So that, you know, I can spend time with my little one, my little person every morning.
Talk about a leader with an objective, hey? and rallying people on board, as you said earlier. So this is it in action.
But it's quite important, the question you're asking. But firstly, I think, because I retire in good health, it allows me to do some of the things that I've always wanted to do, where I didn't have time as a result of the fact that I woke up every day with a schedule. And for the first time in 35 years, I can be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And that's quite important, to allow me to travel, to allow me to read some of the books that I've had on my shelf and haven't read them. It's going to allow me to spend time with my dear wife, who has supported me through it all. I mean, I was talking to colleagues earlier on, and I was saying, you know, we met when we were 17 years old.
Really?
I'm coming back to my dear wife so that we can do some of the things that we want to do together. And clearly, I'll spend time on boards, but I also don't want to be too busy. I want to choose what I do very carefully. And I want to be on boards where I think I can make a difference, rather than, you know, just fill my time. So I'll be choosing those very carefully.
Any in the healthcare space? Making up for lost time there?
Look, I'm open-minded about what I'll look at. Really spending time with my family is probably my first priority at this stage.
Mr. Ngovi, is anything we appreciate tonight is that you've given us a view of you outside of just being a CEO, outside of just being a mining magnate and an exceptional leader within the space that you fulfilled, but going beyond the title and really getting to understand the character of the man that you are. And you continue to have our respect here on Kaya Biz, from myself, from the team, and long may your contribution to society last and be echoed and experienced. Thank you so much to the coal evangelist himself, Mr. July Ndlovu, the outgoing CEO of Thungela Resources.
Thank you so much.
Kaya Biz.
With Gugulethu Mfuphi.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.